Bosch tools are built for workers. Bosch's powerful hammer drill has kickback control to help tough work go more smoothly when you need it. Bosch tools, what hard workers deserve. Learn more at BoschTools.com.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn on what you want, like trying out that new workout class, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like a foam roller for your sore muscles. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.
Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
Hey, welcome in, everybody. It is the first Tuesday of July. The Longhorns are officially in the Southeastern Conference as members after the big party on Sunday night that C.J. Vogel attended and took videos and took in, watched the Pitbull concert. He was part of the stage storming Sunday night. We'll certainly talk about it. We're now 13 days out to the SEC Media Days beginning up in Dallas, 4 days of football conversation. So we're counting them down and we're getting you there. We got a lot to talk about, the latest commitment for the Longhorns on a Tuesday night live stream presented by Texas Electricity Ratings, also a new partner we're going to tell you about coming up. If you need some insurance, we've got you covered on that. But appreciate everybody tuning in on a Tuesday night and all the time here on the ever-growing on Texas Football channel. It's going to be a fun night. We've got mock drafts. We've got Texas commitments, a big recruiting stretch coming. And C.J. Rye, the Longhorns, officially members of the SEC now. I know it's been talked about, but now that it's official, it's official. And, you know, you got the logos and the merch and all that goes with it. And I feel like the Longhorns are pretty ready to go into the Southeastern Conference. You guys feeling good about it?
All right. The question I have, guys, because I saw my man Quan tweet this out. So I'll give my man Quan Cosby some credit.
I saw Quan, this.
Yeah, Quan Cosby's the man, man. He's got his pulse. He's got that finger on the pulse of the people. He tweeted out like an hour ago, Longhorn Nation, can we make a deal? We do not do the SEC chant unless we win the conference / natty, very similar to baseball, only dogpiling in Omaha. We're not just happy to be there. We're on a mission to take over. What are your thoughts about the SEC chant? Have you already chanted SEC at one point already, kind of prematurely? Have you already done that? Or when will you, CJ? When will the feeling... When will it kind of overwhelm you, and when will you decide to have so much SEC pride that you partake in the SEC chant, or will it ever happen for CJ Vogel?
I don't know. I don't know if Texas fans will ever fully adopt it either, right? You know, I feel like if they were to, you know, kind of pop out an SEC chant, I feel like it would almost be in a mocking way, you know? We're here now, like, woo-hoo, you know? You know, wave the SEC flag right up there with the Texas flag. But I don't know. I don't think Texas fans will ever, full on embrace the SEC, you know, as their own identity, as some programs have. Right. You know, it's been one of those things where I think conference pride is, it's okay to have it, to make that your entire identity. I think it's a lot. I think there's more to Texas than just the conference you play in, and that should be the overall theme of what you cheer for and take pride in.
I agree 100%, CJ. It's a great question, a great tweet by Quan, because I've been in Austin since 1991, so over 30 years, and this is their third conference since I've been here. So, you know, it was a Southwest Conference when I rolled into town, and then it was Big 12, which they helped form with Oklahoma. Now it's the SEC. You know, we had the conversation on our radio show that one of the morning, I think Monday after, because they played, and you saw it, CJ, because you put the video out that we credited you, we played it, that 3 minute, we played the whole 3 minute, hype video that they played, but the back end of it, and at the end, you started to hear the SEC chant. That was put in there by the conference as a part of the hype video. It wasn't the crowd, which led us to that conversation that, no, it's Texas fight, it's March Grandioso, it's all the Longhorn. Now, I could hear the other, you know, the opposing fans chanting SEC this year if the Longhorns are losing a game in the fourth quarter, right? I mean, welcome to it, but hey, welcome to the SEC kind of deal. That could happen, but at the same time, I don't think the Longhorns embrace that Texas has its own brand. It's got its own history and tradition. And it's now, I think, excited to be a part of the Southeastern Conference. Same time, I think the Longhorns fans that I know will root for the other teams in the SEC unless they're playing them outside the Aggies. But in the end, it's more about Texas and being a part of this Southeastern Conference, not actually chanting about the conference.
Yeah. No, I've always been Texas and then the state of Texas.
Yeah.
And then the conference in terms of affiliations and that kind of thing. So I'm a little bit unique in my own right because Longhorn fans, they get mad at me because I root for teams in the state. Just because I root for the state of Texas. It's kind of one of those things. So I get it. Everybody's got their own thing. I don't know if the SEC chant will actually ever become something that Longhorn fans embrace. I'm with CJ. I think more they'll do it when they're mocking it. But I will say this. The SEC, and you have to admit this, on top of the success they've had. I mean, the Big Ten's had some success too, but not in the football realm the SEC has had. They've done a great job in terms of marketing and promotions and really propaganda in turning the SEC into its own unique beast where even we talk about this, right? A CJ out of time in recruiting. I never hear kids say, hey, man, I want to play in the Big Ten or I want to play in the ACC.
Right.
You only hear kids really talk about playing in a conference when you talk about playing in the SEC. Like I never heard say back in the day, like, man, I want to play in the Big 12. Woo! Big 12, man, that's what I want to play. The kids don't say that. But I've actually heard young kids say, oh, no, man, I was going to play in the SEC. Like, I'm playing in the SEC. That is, you got to give the SEC credit for that because that is them and their, you know, kind of that programming, that propaganda they continuously throw out there. When they talk about their champions, they make sure it's synonymous with the SEC. And when there's a champion or something coming from another conference, they almost stand alone. Michigan stands alone when, you know, Texas is achieving. Texas stands alone in the Big 12 as opposed to being linked with the conference like the SEC. And so the SEC does a good job with that, and I'm sure that's their plan with Texas. That's why they're going to, hey, we're going to link our success with Texas. And it's still working because you get an SEC bump. Even Texas is getting an SEC bump in recruiting. Everybody gets that bump. A&M has experienced that bump before.
Yeah, well, I think that's right, Rod. And CJ, we heard Jim Schlossnagel say it last Wednesday when talking about the SEC baseball, that it's the major leagues of college athletics. It's the major leagues of college sports. And I think that's to Rod's point right there, that that's really what it's earned on the fields and the courts of play. But the propaganda, the branding, you know, the late, great Bill Walton used to call the Pac-12 the conference of champions, the conference of champions. So, he was really the only one saying that. But at the same time, because he grew up when UCLA and it was a dominant conference. But same time, in our generation, the SEC really has moved to the front where it really is in every sport, the major leagues of professional college athletics. And I think Rod's right. I think kids do want to play in that conference. Not, you know, it's not about chanting SEC. It's more about playing against the best, you know, playing in the major leagues, playing for championships against the best teams all the time. That's the major leagues, and the Longhorns and Oklahoma are now in it.
Yeah. I mean, especially when in recruiting, right, you go back and you look at where the most recent national champions have come from, where have the most draft picks over the last 20 years come from. It's all the same conference, and it's all been consistently dominant. And I think that's the biggest thing, right? You know, you talk about the culture of SEC programs and what it takes to come in and compete on a week-to-week basis. You don't see that all too often, right? There's a significantly higher floor in the SEC than what you see in the ACC or the Big Ten or in the Big 12. And right now, when you're competing against the down teams in the conference, you know, you're still having to go into Starkville. You're still going to have to go to Auburn, right? You know, some of these schools that are still significantly more talented than you'll see with the Rutgers or in Indiana or in Nebraska when they were reeled down, right? So that's what they're talking about in terms of the overall, you know, Triple A, if you will, for the NFL is it belongs in the SEC. And I can't, you know, find a good competitor right now to really knock them off of, you know, where they've been as the top conference in all of college football.
Yeah, I think in college basketball, the Big 12 would have an argument moving forward with what they do. But at the same time, pretty much all the other sports are dominated by the SEC, baseball for sure, football. And Rod, you know, I feel like that's the goal for the Longhorns as we start really drilling down on this football season. You know, if we all, or at the the Bobby Bowden four-year plan, right? You lose big early, you lose small in the year two, year three, you win close ones, which they did last year, and then you take that big step forward and win big. I mean, I think to CJ's point about the bar raising, you know, you can't afford performances like they had down at Houston last year, or, you know, the TCU even, you know, on the road where you needed a A.D. Mitchell, you know, a bailout catch to save the game. It's got to be a higher level. And that's the next step for Texas, is to leave no doubt, to use all these recruiting classes and portal additions and, you know, coaching continuity and Sark, third-year quarterback, all that, to, you know, not get into those, you know, tough tussles with the Mississippi States of the world and the teams you should beat. Obviously, Oklahoma, the A&M game, Georgia, these are Michigan, these are all going to be tough, tight, you know, great college football games. But is Texas to the point now where those games where they're double-digit favorites, that they handle their business and, you know, we're not all sweating in the fourth quarter when it's coming down to the wire?
Yeah, I totally agree. Not just double-digit favorites, right? Actually getting up double digits, multiple scores in games. And how do you keep that, right, that intensity? How do you keep that sense of urgency the entire game? Because I've always talked about Sark teams, right? Sark's teams right now here at Texas, they almost kind of remind me of some really good NBA teams. There's going to be a run in a Sark game, right? As Sark is a play caller at Texas, his team's going their run. And usually the run will last, I don't know, we went from 8 to 10 minutes. Hey, got family announced. Derek Weiss, what's up, baby? and these runs, right? Sorry, it goes on these runs. And it can happen in first quarter, could happen in second, third. Sometimes we've even seen them in the fourth, like the Wyoming game where it just breaks out in the fourth. And like, oh, that's the run. And if you as an opposing head coach can withstand the run, then you got a shot. Right, because that run's gonna hit you, and if it's just like in the NBA, you can withstand the run and then kind of claw your way back into it. If you got enough time to, then you got a shot. That's what happened. That's what's been happening to Sark's teams really since he's been here. Now, his first year, they were coming all the way back to win. All right, pretty much, and that was happening a little bit the second year, but in the third year, they weren't coming back to win. Texas found a way to close those teams out. So Sark's teams are getting better; they're maturing as well. But his team still have these runs that'll happen. If they happen at the right time, you can close out an opponent. And sometimes they just blow out opponents. But what he's got to figure out is when they do get up in these games, double-digit scores, when you get up, you know, 14 points, 20-something points in a game, what's my formula to close out an opponent? And it's got to be – he knows that's why he keeps echoing complimentary football, because he knows the offense just can't do it on their own. Right, because at one point your opposing coach makes an adjustment. They, you know, those guys on scholarship too. They got good coaches. They make an adjustment at one point. So your run is not going to continue the whole game unless there's just no adequate adjustment from the opposing team. But if they got some kind of adjustment, you know, Sark usually finds like these cheat codes, these loopholes within the defense. He finds out your rules and he's able to violate them. And by the time the defense fixes them, oh, Sark's team, they're up 2 touchdowns. They're up 20 points, whatever it is. And what he's got to figure out is whether he can get a team that can continue that run, make it last a little bit longer to close out an opponent, or his version of complimentary football where the defense, and this is probably where it's got to be, because Sark has established himself as an offensive kind of mastermind, right? So the defense and the pass defense is where this thing's falling apart, where his complementary football formula is falling apart. Because when the team gets up by 20 points in a game, well, most opposing teams abandon the run, which K-State did, which U of H did. They abandoned the run and decided, all right, man, we just got to throw the damn football. And yet the Texas pass defense and even the Texas front could not get to the opposing quarterback enough when they were in predictable passing situations, when everybody in the stadium knew, oh, they're about to throw the football. So to me, that's what they gotta fix, right? Coaches are problem solvers. That's the problem they gotta solve now. When teams are just decided to be straight drop back teams and want to throw the football, how the hell do you keep them as a defense? How do you keep them from slicing you up and making their way down the field? Because Texas pass defense last year, they couldn't figure it out, and I include the pass rush in that too. So that to me is where that's to him in going into the SEC. I think that's one of the things that Sark has got to figure out. How do you tweak that complementary football formula so that you can close out opponents better without it being so tight in the end?
Yeah,
I think you said it exactly right. I mean, K-State was a 21-point lead, and they end up in overtime. Houston was 21-point lead. TCU, exactly. And that's you said it right. It's almost like these coaches should have realized, what are we doing run first anyway? Let's just come out throwing the ball and see what we can do against this team and not get behind 21 points. But it is the next step for Texas. And CJ, and we'll get into that pass rush conversation that he just mentioned, because the Longhorns' latest commitment, their 13th for the class of 2025, is an elite pass rusher, which we're going to talk about in the improvement in that position. But, you know, is the answer Sark figuring out a formula to close games and depth, just better players, you know, coming in to spell guys so you can get a blow for your best players? Same time, there's more depth, there's more talent when you go to the second guys. There's not the drop-off that maybe we've seen in the first couple of years.
Yeah, I think that's what gets folks most excited whenever they talk about this 2024 Texas football team, is that every position, essentially, there's going to be guys in the two and the three deep that could come out and give you good snaps, right, offensively at wide receiver and at running back, your two playmaking positions. You have plenty of depth. Offensive line, we've talked about it, 15, 16 guys that have been in the system for a while.
Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
Just like backyard barbecues or a day at the pool, the Three Rivers Festival has always been a part of our summer fun. And the festival returns July 12th to the 20th. It kicks off with the annual Three Rivers Festival Parade. Browse art in the park with local artisans. Bring the family to Children's Fest. Stroll through Junk Food Alley. And don't forget about the festival concerts at the Hoosier Lottery stage with live music from nationally renowned acts. You can buy your concert tickets or check out a schedule of events at threeriversfestival.org. Don't miss the best summer experience in Fort Wayne, the Three Rivers Festival.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley. For the love of home.
You've returned 4 out of 5 offensive linemen from a year ago, and you have a third-year starting quarterback. You should feel very good and comfortable right now on the offensive side of the ball when it comes to being able to sustain that same level of success throughout all 60 minutes of a football game. Defensively, the secondary was an issue a year ago. I think they're very happy with the defensive pieces that were added this year. There's more speed in the secondary this year. And to your point, Rod, I think more importantly, that edge room is looking much more improved. It's probably to a level that we haven't seen in quite some time here in Austin. So not only do you have really talented top end guys, but your second and your third string guys can walk in there and get pressure on the quarterback. Not only can they get pressure, but they can get home, right? We saw what Colton Vosick could do in the spring game. A guy like Colin Simmons coming in as the highest rated, edge rusher in quite some time for the Longhorns is tremendous. And he's not really expected to be that top end guy. You have Trey Moore, you have Ethan Burke, you have Baron Sorrell to do that heavy lifting for you. So you have a really talented group. And of course, across both sides of the ball, you have those 4 and those 5-star guys eager to make a name for themselves, whether it be Manny Muhammad and Anthony Hill. Going into the SEC, this is what they envisioned when they committed to the University of Texas. So they're excited for it, and I am too, because I do think that this is as deep a Texas team as we've seen in quite some time.
All right, interesting on that edge. I want your thoughts on Smith. How do we say his last name, CJ Smith?
Robo.
Coming in from A-Leaf, Elsick down in the greater Houston area. A-Leaf Hastings, I should say. Greater A-Leaf, and big-time pass rusher, 6'4", 220. Chose Texas head-to-head against Oklahoma, which is always good. It's not lost that, Sark gets a lot of credit in this staff for upgrading positions that were kind of void when they got here, right? Offensive line is totally turned. Quarterback room, totally different. Wide receiver room was pretty empty when they got here. Running back was good. They had Bijan and Roshan, and they kind of rode that in that first year. But the offensive positions have all gained so much. But I think people, I don't know if they forget or don't remember just how bad the edge situation was when they got here. I mean, if you go into year one, where your best edge players were Jacoby Jones, Ben Davis, I'm trying to think who they were. There was a freshman named Baron Sorrell. Ogiagofu. I mean, it was bad. I mean, and we would all agree that's in a passing game, that's the most important position on your defense. And Texas was in some dire straits at the edge. mostly because of, you know, Todd Orlando's scheme and then Chris Ash for 1 year at the end with Tom Herman. But in the end, they really had to upgrade that position. And if you see the cycles that they've had, you've gone through some of the names. You know, it was Baron Sorrells in year one with Justice Finkley. You know, then it's Colton Vosick and Ethan Burke. And here comes Trey Moore and Colin Simmons. You know, Anthony Hill can put his hand in the ground and go rush the passer where he needs to. Now you've got these, you know, the kid from Texarkana and now Orogbu coming in from A-Leaf. I mean, this is obviously a priority, and it's a priority you have to have in the SEC. You've got to be able to come off the edges, cover better, as Rod talked about, but get home. Wreak havoc on defense, you know, disrupt the passing game, whether it's knocking balls down, forcing fumbles, just pressuring the quarterback. You've got to have it. The Longhorns now feel like they're getting to a spot where they can have, you know, a couple deep on both sides coming off the edges.
Yeah, the biggest thing for me is, I mean, we've talked about it at certain positions. Texas now is losing good talent in the portal, where previously it was guys that were probably recruited over a little bit. And now you see guys walk out of the building where you're like, wait a minute, you know, that's a good ball player. We would have liked to have had him for the next 2 to 3 years. Billy Walton's that number one guy for me, right? He's a talented edge rusher. He's got a very quick first step. He departs this offseason because I think he's looking around in this room saying, okay, I know I can play ball, but, you know, have you seen some of these other guys in the room? They're pretty good. Not to mention, you know, two of them are 6'6". Zeno Umeozulu, 6'5", with great length as well. You know, it's a much different room that you're walking into right now in year four than what it was when you, you know, kind of originally committed 2 years ago to the University of Texas. So that's the number one thing that I'm seeing right now is, yeah, the talent's coming in, and as a result, you're losing good talent as well. But as long as that room stays stocked up, you should see the results on the field, you know, each Saturday this upcoming fall.
Rod, talk about it from the DB perspective. When you were playing, you had some teams with some great pass rush. How different is it on the NFL, college, when you've got a group up front that can get home and you don't have to cover that long? You know, how does it change your mindset as an individual player and then your defensive coordinator?
Oh, well, it's a DB's best friend. I mean, I had big Sean Rogers and Casey Hampton my sophomore year. So I thought playing cornerback was easy at the college level, honestly. When I learned to my junior year, I was like, oh, man, it's a lot harder without them big boys up front. They would just collapse the pocket. So as a DB, I remember having an internal clock early on. You got to adjust that clock based on your pass rush. You got to be honest as a DB, too. Right? You can't be thinking, yeah, they'll get there. It's like, no. If you know your pass rusher won't get home, you better make sure you stay on that upfield shoulder. Don't undercut that route, all right? You got to be a little bit more disciplined in your fundamentals and your technique. If you don't, you know that your pass rusher is going to get home, if they're calling a particular blitz or a stunt, you're like, oh, no, every time on this, when they run this game, they get home. I know I can jump that quick route. I can jump that quick game because it's probably going to be a hot route. The ball's coming out quick. So it does, as a DB, it will change your internal clock. And if you really know the defense and you know where the pressure is coming from, at times you can almost eliminate some routes, right? Just kind of based on where that pressure is coming from. It's coming from the edge, or if you got it coming through the B gap, as a DB, sometimes you can adjust your leverage and say, all right, you know what? I can undercut that out route, but I'll make sure I have really, really, you know, aggressive inside leverage because I know the ball is going to come out quick because we got a 7-man pressure coming and they only got 5 or 6 in to block our 7. I know that ball is coming out. And so you can sit on some routes at times based on that. So, but if you got natural organic pressure just coming from the edges or coming from the interior, I mean, there's no doubt it should help coverage. Now, this is actually part of the conundrum and the mystery with Texas football and the defense this past season. The coaches are still trying to figure out why their pressure is not necessarily helping the pass defense. Texas had one of the top 10 pressure units in the Power 5 for the last 2 years, but it was coming from the interior. It's coming from the interior pretty much, and that's a different kind of pressure. And it did not lead to more takeaways, did not lead to, you know, a better pass efficiency defense overall. So I think now the experiment is going to shift where the coaches are going to hope that the pressure will still be, you know, obviously a high pressure rate as they had the last couple of years, but it's come from the edges as opposed to coming from the interior. And maybe that will lead to more, you know, takeaways and more splash plays and more negative plays, because up the gun. You had Tavondre Sweat and Byron Murphy. You were getting some of the best interior pressure in the country, and it did not necessarily lead to more of those havoc plays that you wanted.
Interesting. Good stuff. Hey, CJ, just for our Tuesday night audience here, brought to you by the Texas Electricity Ratings website. Also, we'll tell you about a new partner of ours here on Tuesday nights here in a moment. But give me your thoughts on the player himself out of A-Leaf Hastings, 6'4", 220, top 25 player in the state. How good does this get for the Longhorns in 2025?
Yeah, you have to be thrilled if you're a Texas fan. What this Smith Orogbo addition does to the 2025 class when you compare him up with a Lance Jackson, you know, that's two really, really talented edge rushers, right? And it's two consecutive classes where Texas has added two very talented edge rushers. Of course, last year, Zeno Umeozulu and Colin Simmons, the five-star from Duncanville. But Smith Orogbo, tremendous first step. That BGO that we talk about, that ball get-off, is elite for his size. He's very twitchy, and I still believe that there's still room to grow in his frame, right? Only about 220, 225 pounds right now. He has room to get up to about 240, 245, 250 by the first time that he steps foot on campus, in my eyes. That will get him ready to play at the next level. I think that he's an NFL prospect when it's all said and done. And again, there's still some movement whenever I watch him that makes me think that he's still growing and learning what his body's capable of. You know, when guys have that growth spurt initially, you know, it might have some funky movements. You know, it's not as smooth as you'd like it initially. There's still some of that I see in his game. But to see what he can do, you know, production-wise coming after the quarterback, I mean, you take that chance 100%. And there's a reason why Oklahoma wanted him. Texas Tech went all in for him originally. They felt like they had a great, you know, chance to land him. You know, after his official visit June 7th, but for Texas to come in and say, no, that's the guy that we want in our class, I think that they're in a really, really good spot long-term at the defensive end spot, and he's certainly a piece that I see contributing early in his career at some point for the Longhorns coming off the edge.
Interesting. All right, so 13 commitments, 8 on offense, 5 defense, and it's not lost, I think, on most that the defensive backfield has 0 at this point. No corners, no safeties that I see. You know, am I wrong about that?
They got one. Caleb Chester out of Fort Caleb North. Chester.
Okay, yeah, we talked about him a couple Tuesdays ago. All right, so one corner who's come in. But, you know, it's pretty safe to say the defense, only 5 commitments. That's going to be a push here into July. And what do you see? I mean, I know we've heard you guys talk about, you, Bobby, and Jerry, about trying to get up to 23, 24, 25. That's 10, 12 more. Where do you what positions do you see they're most attacking right now?
Yeah, well, it's going to have to take a push to get to those numbers with the way that this last week and a half has gone on the recruiting trail, right? Texas, of course, has lost out on Dorian Brew, Josiah Sharma, Kevin Wynn, Myron Charles, you know, some big names, some big pieces that Texas was hoping to get into the fold for this 2025 recruiting class are all headed elsewhere, some to Oregon, others to Florida State. I understand it. If you're a Texas fan, you're frustrated. I understand it. I mean, this is who you were expecting to push, especially, and we got to talk defensive line, because defensive line is what a lot of folks are probably the most upset with or frustrated with at the moment. And I understand it. You have Brandon Brown in the fold. He's expected to make a reaffirming decision in the next 2 to 3 days or flip over to LSU. And right now we're probably leaning towards the latter of that in his recruitment. So what does that mean for Texas? Well, the issue I saw with Texas this year is they wanted to go big game hunting on the recruiting trail at the defensive line. Nothing wrong with that. The issue is, and we've seen it in other positions, you know, under Sarkisian, is if you go big game hunting, and I mean nationally for the top 10 guys at the position, you still have to recruit the in-state crop. And I know it's not a good crop this year, but at that time you have to bring them in for visits, because if you do strike out, which Texas did this year on a lot of out-of-state nationally recruited guys, well, then your backup plan has to come out and say, all right, we know we can have a chance at Chase Sims. Xavier Opono at Dentgeier, we'd like to have you back on the campus at some point. Zion Williams, I know you're going to LSU, but, hey, you're an in-state guy. Don't give up on us just yet. DJ Sanders, I know that Texas A&M is coming around. Michigan was in for you as well for a little bit, but we need you in this class right now. The issue is Texas only had one in-state guy in the 2025 class on the defensive line visit officially in the month of June. So when Myron Charles, Josiah Sharma, You know, some of these big name guys end up elsewhere. You're starting to sit around with your hands under your butt thinking, well, now what? There's your issue, right? You didn't do a great job initially. It's not a Kenny Baker issue because, again, he's only been able to recruit these guys for about 4 months before they really started to get an idea of what the University of Texas was all about. So it's not great right now on the defensive line. Luckily, and Rod, I want to get your thoughts on this. Luckily, Texas has done a tremendous job at flipping prospects later on in the year. 2022, the big name was Terrence Brooks. Committed to Ohio State, national signing day comes rolling around. Texas says, no. You're staying home. Terrence Brooks, you're going to be a Longhorn. That worked out pretty well for a year. 2023, Jelani McDonald, originally committed to Oklahoma State. Backed that off. Texas said, you're going to come to Austin. Anthony Hill, committed to A&M. Flipped to Texas. Tecelia Connor, big win over Oklahoma late in the cycle. Warren Roberson, similar deal as Jelani McDonald, originally committed to TCU, backed off that commitment. Texas said, we're going to need you. Last year, we saw it in the defensive back room again. Wardell Mack, Xavier Fils-Smith, originally committed to Florida, and Corey Raymond, that coaching turnover happened. Texas says, you're staying in state. You're coming down to Austin. Aaron Butler, Texas lost a commitment. Aaron Hampton over to Alabama. Texas goes out to California, and without ever having a visit from Aaron Butler, he's signing his national letter of intent enrolling in Austin. Kobe Black, Ty Anthony Smith, another late flip. They do a lot of work in November and December where, again, where some of these question marks and concerns are in June and July, they circle back and say, we're the University of Texas, and we're not going to be recruiting at a weak spot. We're going to go out and fill those guys right now. So I do think that right now it's frustrating. It's a rocky road, obviously. Recruiting is all about momentum and roller coasters. Texas seems to have been a little bit stalled out on the tracks at the moment. But come December, when it's time for these guys to sign, I would expect Texas to go on a full-fledged, you know, attack to get this class figured out.
Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
Just like backyard barbecues or a day at the pool, the Three Rivers Festival has always been a part of our summer fun. And the festival returns July 12th to the 20th. It kicks off with the annual Three Rivers Festival Parade. Browse art in the park with local artisans. Bring the family to Children's Fest. Stroll through Junk Food Alley. And don't forget about the festival concerts at the Hoosier Lottery stage with live music from nationally renowned acts. You can buy your concert tickets or check out a schedule of events at threeriversfestival.org. Don't miss the best summer experience in Fort Wayne, the Three Rivers Festival.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley. For the love of home.
It's interesting, Rod, because, you know, things change. You know, coaches get fired. Coaches get on hot seats. You know, things change come the season. We know that happens all the time now in college football, and the landscape can change pretty quickly. You know, part of the two kids from Florida, Wardell Mack and Xavier Fils-Smith, was, you know, the year Billy Napier had at Florida, that it was kind of thin ice, and all of a sudden they're back in play. And that's where, as Jerry Hamilton says all the time, you recruit to the tape. You recruit to the finish line. Just because it's on July 2nd, you've lost some big game. And I don't blame a coach for going big game hunting because those are the best players in the country. Same time, there's still a lot of time between now and third week of December.
Yeah. I think they're kind of betting on themselves, too. The success of the season will also play a role in being able to flip some of these guys, too. So, I think Kenny Baker, you know, that D-line plays well. I think, you know, his work will speak for itself. He's still young in terms of his coaching prowess and what he's accomplished, notches on his belt and skins on the wall. He'll get that right now. You know, he doesn't necessarily have that. So I think it's going to take some time to build up that street cred. But, you know, got to trust in Sark when it comes to coaching hires because he really hadn't given you a reason to doubt him.
Tuesday live stream every Tuesday is brought to you by our great friends at Texas Electricity Ratings.com. For you guys living here in Texas in the D deregulated areas, Dallas, Houston, and many others around the great state. You are fully aware and understand that deregulated electricity in that market can be very confusing. Our friends and partners at Texas Electricity Ratings are a shopping website that lets you compare prices, read reviews, and find an electricity plan that fits your needs and you and your family, your business, whatever it may be. Also filters out a lot of the gimmickly plans that you're going to find and see on websites like Power to Choose. So those sites will actually trick you into expensive bills you don't want to be a part of. So if you're in the market, and many of you are, for a new electricity plan, please stop by and shop TexasElectricityRatings.com/OTF. That's TexasElectricityRatings.com/OTF for all of your electricity needs, and hook them and make sure you check that thing out. They bring it the live stream every Tuesday night. All right, guys. So CJ, what's next on that front? I mean, any other names we're watching here? I know it's been a dry spell for the Longhorns outside of the Orogbo commitment. What else do you see in the near horizon?
Yeah, Marco Jones committed to A&M. Caleb Edwards committed to Alabama today. We expect Zion Williams on the 4th to announce for LSU, of course. July 5th and 6th are going to be very, I want to say exciting. Maybe some leftover fireworks are in store for the Longhorns. Of course, Jonathan Cunningham between Utah, TCU, and the Longhorns commits on the 5th. Riley Pettijohn and Cade Phillips on the 6th. And again, Pettijohn is wide open right now. I know he's got a decision date, but in terms of what we've heard behind the scenes, what other folks are reporting, there's no true leader that's public yet. I think Riley and his camp have a good understanding of where he's going to end up. USC's gained a lot of steam late. A&M and Ohio State felt like they had a good run 2 weeks ago. Texas felt like they put their best foot forward when it comes to his official visit. So right now, there's just too much noise with Riley Pettijohn and other schools that make me think that he's headed elsewhere than the 2025 Texas class. So I have him going elsewhere. I think that recruitment of Jonathan Cunningham is going to be very important as well, because when you consider also at linebacker, Madden Faramo, the other linebacker that they brought in this year, is down to Texas and Notre Dame. Well, Notre Dame appears to be picking up smoke once more in that recruitment as well. So defensive side of the ball is going to have a lot of work to do, moving on. Luckily, and I pointed this out earlier, out of those 12 names I brought up early that Texas has flipped in, November, December, 11 of them are on the defensive side of the ball. So they're used to fighting from behind when it comes to getting defensive backs, linebackers, and D-line in their class. Sarkisian does a great job saying, this is my offense. This is what you can be a part of. Come get in the fold. That's why you see 8 out of the 13 right now committed on the offensive side of the ball. Defense, and again, it's just more of a, kind of wait and see on the field. Again, even with those steps that this defense has taken before they really get, that class's attention on the field each cycle.
Oh, interesting. And I think, Rod, you said something I think that's very poignant, that, last year winning that Alabama game became very big, the momentum, right? And then even the loss to Oklahoma, the heartbreaker, didn't stem that tide. And that led to, oh, my gosh, this is a program on the move. Winning at Alabama on national TV on a primetime game. They win that Michigan game, somehow find a way to beat Oklahoma, and whatever that Georgia game turns into, things change pretty quick in kids' mind that, man, that's the program, that's the one. And I think that's in addition to coaching changes and this landscape changes, it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. But CJ, Jerry, and the crew here on the On Texas Football Channel, always on top of it, and will certainly be as we move forward. Guys, Matt Miller, NFL Draft Scout, ESPN, has a way, way early look at his mock draft for 2025 put out today. Take us through it, CJ and Rod. What did you guys see that stood out to you from Matt Miller looking forward before a game has been played in 2024 to what may happen in April of 2025?
Yeah, Texas missed out on having 3 first-round picks by just a little bit in this 2024 NFL draft. Well, Matt Miller says that they're going to get it in 2025 with Kelvin Banks, Quinn Ewers going top 10, Isaiah Bond falling into that first round as well. A really intriguing, kind of way too early look. And that's one of the more fun things about, predictions, are where you can kind of set your sights on guys falling at the moment. Right now, he has Kelvin Banks, number 5, to the Commanders, Quinn Ewers, number 10, going to the New Orleans Saints, and Isaiah Bond teaming up with Ja'Marr Chase at the Cincinnati Bengals. How about some speed there? So I really liked it. I think that Quinn Ewers is he's going to be the third quarterback taken off the board according to this mock draft by Matt Miller. But a lot of room to improve your stock if you're Quinn. Of course, I think there might be some question marks about how much can you really take over games. But at the same time, we've seen consistency time and time again with Quinn. That cool, calm, collected approach that is so important to his kind of play style. It wouldn't surprise me with a good year and some gaudy numbers that we're expected to see put up this year for Quinn to sneak up into that top five and potentially into that conversation for a number one or number two overall pick.
Yep. No, I like the draft too. It was, yeah. So Kelvin Banks at number five to Washington. You got to kind of predict how badly teams are going to finish too when you're doing this if you're Matt Miller. But he's got him going ahead of Will Campbell, excuse me, which is the LSU tackle. A lot of people believe those are the two best tackles in college football, and a lot of people have Will Campbell actually ranked ahead of Kelvin Banks, but not my man Matt Miller, at least based on his way, way too early mock draft. So I like that. He's got Kelvin Banks as the, the first tackle off the board. I think that's pretty badass and something Texas could recruit to. Just talking about recruiting, all right, something else that'll help you recruit. And then getting Quinn Ewers at number 10 overall, they got him going to the New Orleans Saints. I don't know how I feel about that situation. I think there's some better situations I'd like for Quinn, but getting in the top 10 says a lot. Only two quarterbacks, Shedeur Sanders and Carson Beck, went ahead of him. And they got, I think, the Giants with the number one overall pick getting Carson Beck. And he's got the Las Vegas Raiders there, I believe, CJ? He's taking Shedeur Sanders, which, honestly, that kind of fits.
Trading up to number two to take Carolina. Yeah, he's got the Giants trading up with the Patriots to take Carson Beck, and the Raiders trading up to two with the Panthers to take Shedeur Sanders. Quinn Ewers 10 to the New Orleans Saints as far as quarterback. So obviously those are quarterback star teams. Now, if one of those top two teams, the Raiders or the Giants, don't get into the Dak Prescott sweepstakes, if he's on the market, they very well may do that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, you're right about that. That could change all of this too. But I'll say this about Quinn, though. I do think there's a chance for Quinn to increase his draft stock more. You're right about that, because we don't know how the quarterback carousel is going to end by the time the next draft rolls around. But Quinn's going to face off against Carson Beck head-to-head. That's going to be a huge game. I remember the biggest games of the college football season. He'll be on so many big stages. I do think Quinn's got a chance to increase his stock overall. Right now, the guy is the third quarterback. Some people got a second quarterback. I mean, he's got a chance to be in the conversation to be 1-1 overall. But we got to see a leap this year in a lot of places. His pocket science and the way that he handles himself in the pocket, pressure to sack numbers need to improve for Quinn. You need to see him get deeper into the progressions. Even Sark has talked about that. And I think we've all talked about how he's got to get through progressions quicker, but also get deeper into those progressions, buying himself time, not seeing the pressure, but feeling the pressure as a quarterback. The deep ball, I think, is overblown. I think the deep ball is already getting better and it's going to be fine. What I call capability. He's got to be able to put the cape on. And scouts need to see him put the cape on and be Superman. If they're going to draft you number one overall, think about all the guys have been drafted number one overall. That's why even the Carson Beck thing, I guarantee you, if Shedeur Sanders and Quinn Ewers show more capability, more moments where they put the cape on and look like Superman out there, they'll take them number one overall over Carson Beck. It's just something about NFL stuff. They want to see that capability in a player. And we saw it from Caleb Williams in his first damn season when they put him in there in the Texas OU game, and he brought him all the way back, and everybody went, that dude has a cape, and he can break it out anytime he wants to. All right, and for Quinn, I've seen it with Quinn. Right? I've seen it in the Bama game. We've seen it in some big games versus Oklahoma. They got to see it this season in the SEC against the best competition, against more high-level NFL caliber players. If he shows that, because Carson Beck is so damn – he's so damn efficient, and Georgia is so good, you really don't even necessarily see him put the cape on and have to rescue his team, because – they're just a damn machine. They just dominate. And he's so efficient. So I'm not saying he doesn't deserve to be the number one overall quarterback, but I'm telling you, you want to stand out and you want to leapfrog him, put the cape on, Quinn. Put the cape on a few times. Go rescue your team like we've seen Caleb Williams do or Kyler Murray do back in the day. You do that, yep, they'll draft you number one overall. They'll draft you over Carson Beck.
It elevates for sure. Hey guys, also one of the things I like about these, you know, these way too early draft mock drafts is you kind of know who the NFL is looking at. Matt Miller's talking to the right people. So you know who the best players you're going to face are on your schedule, right? So Michigan week two, they've got three in the top 14, right? Number three overall is Will Johnson, the cornerback. I want you to talk about him, Rod, how good that's a guy that can steal your heart, man. That guy can break a game with one throw, one missed throw. Will Johnson, third pick, first defensive player taken by the Denver Broncos, top corner on the board. You've also got at number seven overall, Minnesota taking Mason Graham, the big defensive tackle from Michigan. And then at pick 14, Matt Miller has the big tight end, Colston Loveland from Michigan. So three of the top 14. They don't know who their quarterback is. They're kind of replacing most of their offense. But Michigan's still got a lot of talent when you roll into Ann Arbor week two.
Yeah, and they got another D tackle, as CJ knows, that'll be drafted in the second round, who's really damn good. They kind of like Texas, Byron Murphy and Tavondre Sweat last year, best D tackle duo in college football. And this goes back to our Quinn conversation. Guys, the NFL scouts.
Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
Just like backyard barbecues or a day at the pool, the Three Rivers Festival has always been a part of our summer fun. And the festival returns July 12th to the 20th. It kicks off with the annual Three Rivers Festival Parade. Browse art in the park with local artisans. Bring the family to Children's Fest. Stroll through Junk Food Alley. And don't forget about the festival concerts at the Hoosier Lottery stage with live music from nationally renowned acts. You can buy your concert tickets or check out a schedule of events at threeriversfestival.org. Don't miss the best summer experience in Fort Wayne, the Three Rivers Festival.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley. For the love of home.
There's an NFL defensive coordinator over there across from you, all right, at Michigan now. It's Wink Martindale, longtime NFL guy, got a lot of street cred in the NFL. They're running an NFL system. They're running the same system with McDonald there earlier and those the Harbaugh defensive coordinators who have been their mentor. So they run an NFL system, run basically the same system the Ravens are running. They just tweak it a little bit. And you'll be going up against an NFL defensive coordinator and Wink Martindale. And they got NFL caliber players at every level of that damn defense. They got about probably six or seven. And you'll be going up against the number one cornerback in the country. And last time you went up against some cornerbacks who had first round caliber potential at Alabama, Sark has something ready for them. So, this is important because Sark understands what Wink Martindale is because of the NFL ties. Everybody knows Wink Martindale wants to blitz. He wants to bring the blitz. He's as blitz happy as any DC in the NFL or college. And one of the things that Quinn has not necessarily handled really well is a lot of blitz. Like, and it's, you know, he's okay versus the blitz, but you can see how scouts want to see improvement when how he handles pressure. We're not talking about pressure to sack rate. Big game against Michigan because all the NFL scouts are coming because that's a one-stop for all of them to get to see all those guys on both squads. They're going to be basically drafting over the next 2-3 years. And you get to see Quinn going up against an NFL caliber defense with NFL schemes. That's a big game for Quinn, guys. That's the capability game. Put the cape on if they need you. Because that may be a game where it comes down to a game-winning drive. It comes down to a fourth-quarter comeback for Quinn. Because on the road, you know, up against a really good defense, really, really not sure how that Michigan offense is going to look because so much was gone with Sherrone Moore. So they might try to slow down the game, play bully ball, play hardball ball, break out some power sets on you, and basically limit Texas to a few possessions in that game, as few as they can get. And it might come down to, all right, game is clutch time, game on the line, Quinn go win it. I think you're going to have a couple of scenarios like that this year. And he's not going to always be able to win it, just like in the Sugar Bowl. He won't always be able to win it. But, man, if he does put the cape on, he could go 1-1. I'm telling you, it's possible. Yeah.
Well said. Also on this list right here, CJ, any surprise Casey Wiegman is the next corner quarterback out of Texas A&M, 19 overall, he says, to the L.A. Rams, maybe the possible successor to Matt Stafford. Doesn't have the arm strength of Matt Stafford, but who does? You've seen Connor Wiegman at A&M. Got to stay healthy, but is he a top 20 draft pick in your mind?
Yeah, I think that's the big question, right? And I think right now to have him in the first round, it might be a little premature. He's a talented kid. I'm a big fan of his. I think he's a top five quarterback in the SEC. But are we sure that after this year, even if with a successful full, 12, 13 games played, that he would be ready for the NFL? He's only played in 8 or 9 games as a college kid through 2 years. You know, we talked about it with Quinn. You know, there's some concerns about whether or not he's physically fit to play in the NFL with the way that his body's at right now. Right now, I believe Quinn is. He's up to about 210 pounds, a good 210 pounds from where it was 2 years ago. With Wiegman specifically, again, those nagging injuries have left him off the field. So I think right now it's worth asking the question of, are we sure that he can last and sustain throughout an entire season, especially with an offensive line in College Station right now that may not be as talented as some of these other offensive lines that Texas will face this year. When you look at Georgia, Michigan, some of these schools, Kentucky even. But talent-wise, he's very talented. I think he's able to make throws on any platform. He can do any arm angle. He's got a baseball background, kind of being able to turn to, kind of dipping the shoulder around a defender, getting sidearm whenever you need to. He has a tremendous touchdown to interception ratio in his career at Texas A&M. But again, that can only take you so far when you're only playing 5 games a year and all of a sudden, you're banged up with a shoulder or an ankle or a back or whatever. And it's been unfortunate for him. He's really talented. I think he is a top 5 quarterback in the SEC when he's healthy. But again, if I have to see him be 100% healthy for a full season before I consider if I'm an NFL GM taking him in the first round.
Yeah, Quinn would be in that conversation too. Got to stay healthy and play a full season. Durability, a big one for Quinn, but Wiegman for sure. And A&M, that's Mike Elko's biggest job, is to keep his quarterback upright. I mean, they've had a quarterback get hurt every year for 5 years. So, I mean, it's like every year, and sometimes they get down to the third and fourth guy at A&M. They've got to get that offensive line better. Also fun to watch this year, Rod, when you look at Matt Miller, NFL draft scout on ESPN's mock draft, that Phil Steele, College Football Preview, has the Longhorns, the number 2 offensive line unit in the country. Right, just behind Georgia. Kelvin Banks is the first tackle off the board at 5, and we're going to get to see him. He anchors that offensive line. He'll be up against a couple of NFL top, draft picks. The kid from Georgia, the edge, Mikael Williams, is pick 17 to the Bears, and the A&M transfer from Purdue, Nick Skirton, is in the top 25. I mean, he's a guy that A&M raving about what he did in the spring. So again, Kelvin Banks and that Texas offensive line, will see Michigan and all that NFL talent. Georgia's got a bunch of dudes. We know A&M and Mike Elko are going to have some dudes. That'll be fun to watch this offensive line, and particularly Banks up against the top pass rushers this year.
Yeah, and they'll face some really good interior D linemen. So I think Deion Walker on that list.
Yeah, he is.
The Kentucky interior D lineman. He's a bit of a freak as well. I'm with you. Listen, Kelvin Banks, ever since his freshman year, it wasn't CJ. Did he go up against, was it 3 first-round picks that he faced? Yeah. Was it 4 first-round picks he faced his freshman year? And held his own against all those guys. That film has been out there forever. Ever since then, I don't worry about Kelvin Banks going up against the best, most elite defensive edge rushers in the country. I don't worry about it, CJ.
Rob, what's going to be fun is how does Cam Williams do as a first-time starter?
There you go. That's a great one, yes.
That's going to be a fun one because, again, Cam Williams, to me, is very – he was very underrated out of high school. Again, 6'5", 360 pounds. You might worry a little bit about how well he can move against some of those speed guys. But let me tell you, his patience is second to none on this team right now when it comes to engaging on the offensive line. The way that he kind of sits back, let guys come to him – lunging is not a part of his game. And that's, I think, at times when Kelvin Banks does get in trouble, it's when he kind of lunges and gets over his feet a little bit, trying to engage with defensive ends. That's not a part of Cam Williams' game at all. He's got those big hands. He's strong, obviously. I talked to one pass rusher earlier this offseason. I said, how's he coming along? And they looked at me and said, dude, like, he gets his hands on you, you might as well just go back and get ready for the next snap. So I'm excited to see that because, again, we know what Texas has in Kelvin Banks. Freshman campaign that you were mentioning, Rada, I believe it was Tyree Wilson from Texas Tech, Felix Anadupi Uzoma from Kansas State, and, of course, was it Dallas Wilson? It was Will Anderson.
Well, that's –
from Alabama. So that's a pretty good start, if you ask me, when it comes to
– And the Iowa State kid. The Iowa State kid, Will McDonald, was a part of that, too.
Yes.
Right?
It was four of them. That's crazy. Four of them.
Yeah. Wow. And he didn't give up a sack to any of those dudes. That's crazy. Hey, we're going to get to some super chats here. We'd love to hear from you on this mock draft. Also, the recruiting conversation that CJ dialed into. Rod talking about the are we going to chant – Longhorn fans going to chant SEC or not? I think no for most of you. We'll take those coming up. But I do want to ask you this. When it comes to protecting your stuff, and I mean all your stuff, wouldn't it be great to have one place that protects all of it? Are you in good hands is a question. More than 35 years of experience, you will be with Texas alum Mark Saunders helping us out here on a Tuesday night. We appreciate Mark. If you're not actually sure if all your stuff is protected, here's the good news. Texas Allstate agent Mark Saunders is the only insurance agent you'll need. Everything from your home, your car, your cars, your boat, your motorcycle, RV, ATV, all of it. If you're looking for someone local in the Austin Round Rock area, give Texas Allstate agent Mark Saunders' office a call. 512-218-8571. That's 512-218-8571. You'll be dealing with someone who loves the Longhorns like you do and can help you protect all your stuff. So again, ask yourself, are you in good hands? More than 35 years of experience and a Longhorn himself, Mark Saunders, 512-218-8571. You'll sleep better at night knowing that your stuff is protected and you're working with a good dude and a Longhorn alum. You are in good hands with Mark. I appreciate him jumping on board here on the live stream. CJ, let's get some super chats here, and Matt, roll through, and we'll get some thoughts here. CJ, do you think the miss on all the D-line recruiting is Kenny Baker not having enough skins on the wall, or other programs negative recruiting him because of that? Kenny Baker is going to have to prove it. Is that a fair statement?
Yeah, first one, thank you for the super chat. We touched on this a little bit earlier. There's many chapters to this, right? You know, Kenny Baker, Texas has produced four NFL draftees in the last 2 years on the defensive line, you know, and that's great. You can use that as a recruiting pitch until you realize the guy that was kind of manufacturing and molding those guys to become NFL talents is now down the road in Baton Rouge. You know, he's no longer there. It's interesting, obviously. I think Kenny Baker did a tremendous job getting out there early and kind of establishing himself as a guy, recruits can latch onto. He's a very personable guy. He has got a tremendous energy. He's very charismatic. But at the same time, it's kind of tough when you're the University of Texas recruiting some of these nationally notable guys on the defensive line, and you don't have a guy that you can point to and say, we've seen the skins on the wall. We've seen him produce a three-star into a first or second-round talent. That hasn't been the case just yet. And, again, that's no fault to his own. I think right now what Sarkisian's trying to do is that same kind of path that we saw with Chris Jackson. Let me get a guy that I know can develop, and I'll go get my guys. I'll let the team, the scheme, you know, kind of recruit itself. The university, the program, everything that comes with Texas, we'll use that right now to recruit for the University of Texas. Now, where that kind of falls flat is, again, when you have a Bo Davis, when you have, you know, guys at Alabama and Georgia that have produced as many defensive linemen as you've seen them put out in recent years, say, yeah, that's all great, but I can do it. You know, look at these guys that I have jerseys up in my office that have gotten drafted, that I recruited, that I've developed, that I've sent into the league. And so it's kind of a wait and see right now. And so I think, you'll see more success in 2026, 2027, once you get that first little taste of seeing him, you know, kind of recruit a little bit and develop on the field in his own right. But for now, it's going to be a bit of a tough sledding road moving forward.
Hey, Rod, you lived this as a recruit. I mean, we learned it. We needed to be taught about it again in the baseball situation the last week or so. Relationships matter, right? And whether it's a coach and an AD and then coaches and recruits, you know, since Jim Schlossnagel's come on board to coach the baseball team, Max Wiener, they flipped four kids, pitchers who are committed to A&M that are now coming to Texas. And that's something, you know, mostly because Max Wiener and his relationship with those coaches. And, you know, it's one of those things, Kenny Baker, there's just nothing you can do about the timing. I mean, he just hasn't had a chance to develop players, which you can call it negative recruiting if you want, Rod. But at the same time, it's just reality. Those coaches are just saying, hey, man, are you sure? Are you sure? Look at these skins on my wall, as CJ said. You know, there's just a fact that Kenny Baker is going to have to show it with this year's group. And if he does, then that'll speak for itself. Until you get a chance to do that, those relationships tend to win the day.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And CJ hit the nail on the head there for Kenny Baker. And, you know, Johnny Nansen's a primary example, right? Yeah. So Johnny Nansen comes in. It hadn't even, you know, we hadn't started the season yet. And yet there are like five different transfer portal acquisitions that you can tie to Johnny Nansen's relationships he had on the West Coast. All the detail because you brought in, all right, Lole and bringing in Savannah too, and Bill Norton, those are all ties to him. We found out interviewing Javion Cole, oh yeah, first person to reach out to me was Coach Johnny Nansen. And then we found out, talking to Silas Bolden, that, oh yeah, Sark learned about Silas Bolden and got the recommendation, essentially, the reference from Johnny Nansen because of his time coaching against him at Arizona when he was at when Silas Bolden was at Oregon State. So you're totally right, man. Recruiting is about relationships, and you know, he just hasn't had a time to cultivate enough of them yet. I'm sure he's got good ones, but you got to give the man some time. I totally get it. I get the frustration, and you know, the interior D line. I've said this before. You heard me say this, Eden. So have you, CJ. It's a premium position in the NFL now, and I think that that premium position priority, if you will, has also shifted to college football now. I think interior D linemen, really good ones. As my man CJ was saying, you want to go big game hunting all around the country. And listen, the best D linemen are in SEC country. If you go look at, I remember a study from, man, this is probably from like 5 or 6 years ago, looking at the D linemen in the NFL and what states they were born in. And I believe it was 6 out of the top 10. And actually now if you count the SEC, now the new SEC, the newly expanded SEC, I believe 7 out of the top 10 states for producing NFL defensive linemen are in SEC country, right? And I think it goes on from there. I think it's like 9 of the top 16, whatever, you get it. And so you got to get out that SEC country. You got to get to Florida and Louisiana and Georgia, which is where Kenny Baker has a lot of his ties. So I think Texas will be okay. But yeah, man, if you want to go big game hunting, you got not only have the NIL dollars, which Texas has, but the skins on the wall. That also helps in your recruiting in the pitch as well. And someone who's, you know, got more, a little bit more street cred. So I think Kenny Baker will get it. You just got to give him a little bit of time.
Yeah. And on the topic of NIL, Texas is trying with the NIL on the defensive line. You know, the results that we've seen so far go the opposite direction for the Longhorns is not for a lack of trying, right? Oregon was not going to be the pick for Josiah Sharma until he essentially woke up that morning and said, oh, wait, they've countered? That's essentially what happened in that recruitment, right? He had alerted staffs across the country and the Texas staff that, hey, I'm feeling like I'm going to be putting on a burnt orange shirt this morning. I'm going to Austin.
Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
Just like backyard barbecues or a day at the pool, the Three Rivers Festival has always been a part of our summer fun. And the festival returns July 12th to the 20th. It kicks off with the annual Three Rivers Festival Parade. Browse art in the park with local artisans. Bring the family to Children's Fest. Stroll through Junk Food Alley. And don't forget about the festival concerts at the Hoosier Lottery stage with live music from nationally renowned acts. You can buy your concert tickets or check out a schedule of events at threeriversfestival.org. Don't miss the best summer experience in Fort Wayne, the Three Rivers Festival.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley. For the love of home.
Again, if that happens, you have Brandon Brown and Josiah Sharma in the fold. Maybe that reconsiders a little bit for Brandon Brown. Maybe Myron Charles takes a second look at the University of Texas if they are able to land a Josiah Sharma. So, again, they're trying. there. For folks in the chat, you know, on Twitter, on the message boards that are saying, yeah, all the NIL money is being used for wide receivers and offensive line. And then, you know, those defensive guys are getting their fair share, Rod. You know, those quarterbacks are getting their fair share. Those looks, those defensive linemen. I think Sarkisian understands how important trenches are, having come in and rebuilt that entire offensive line room by itself. So they're trying. They're just other factors, obviously. Getting kids from Georgia, Florida, and California to up and leave home to come to Austin, Texas, it's difficult. It's not an easy thing to do, regardless of how well you recruit them. Besides of all the boxes that you might check, you know, Texas did a great job with Kevin Wynn. They showed him all around the city. They let him go chef in a kitchen on his official visit. It didn't end up working for him. So that's the issue whenever you have a down – in-state crop at certain positions, it makes life very difficult across the board.
Well, Rod, I've heard you say this many times, and it's in recruiting now, being in second place is not always the worst thing, right? It's a year-to-year proposition for a lot of these guys. Not to say they're going to jump, but you still recruit to the tape, you still recruit to the wire, and it didn't work out this year, but we've seen it time and time again where year or two from now, kid decides he wants to be somewhere else and maybe regrets the decision, whatever it might be. And all of a sudden, you're still in a good place with the kid. I mean, that's how you have to recruit in this day and age of college football. Being second's not always the worst thing.
Yeah, can't be a sore loser finishing second in recruiting, right? That's why those relationships we were talking about, they still matter. Because that young man or young woman, they're going to go back to their recruiting process and the schools and relationships they had up until that process when they made their decision. If they decided to transfer portal, which is probably – 40% of these kids are going to hit the transfer portal. So you'll still be in a good place. So it's almost like planting a seed. That recruitment is like, hey, we'll plant a seed. If I finish second, that's okay. Because I can always obviously reestablish that connection a little bit later on.
All right, CJ, this is for you on the Super Chat from Lep. We appreciate him very, very much. Thanks for all y'all do, of course. Hey, CJ, over under on total commitments out of the following: DK, French, Lockett, Townsend, Sanders, Pettijohn, Fasusi, Cunningham, Caden, Terry. That's a pretty good list. You want to run through those, Siege? Or you got the appetite for that?
Yeah, I think I'll push on the five. I think that, you know, of course, we've said it time and time again, Texas is in a good spot right now for Jamie French and DeCorian Moore. Amongst the other guys, Nick Townsend's the first guy that will make a decision of that group. Depending on when officially DJ Sanders makes his decision, that's kind of up in the air. I do believe it'll come this week at some point. When specifically, I'm unsure. So those two are coming soon. Moving forward, I think Texas, again, is in a very sneaky good spot for Michael Terry, that back-end spot. So I'll look. I think five, if I have to take a side totally, I mean, I would take the over, but barely.
What's the Fasusi feel? I mean, I love that guy as an offensive lineman, the strength, the quickness. Is he Oklahoma, Texas A&M, Texas? What are we seeing there?
Yeah, it's going to be Texas and Oklahoma. I think he has a great relationship with Oklahoma staff. Coach Biedenbaugh up there has done a tremendous job kind of expressing his development at Oklahoma, right? That was one of the big issues that I think Oklahoma's pushing against Fasusi with Texas is, yeah, Kyle Flood's produced guys, but how many of them have been at Texas? How many of those guys have come in not already being, you know, NFL caliber prospects? And I think it's no fault to his own because, again, that core group that he walked into Austin with is still there. But that one guy that he's been able to develop is Christian Jones. He got drafted this year, I think surprised a lot of folks with how well he ended up playing this year or 2023. But Bill Biedenbaugh, their big push is we have the most NFL offensive linemen. We've earned the most money for NFL offensive linemen during my time here in Norman. That's the big push. It's resonating well right now. It's going to be Texas and Oklahoma. And right now, I kind of side a little bit with the Sooners right now.
All right, I saw another super chat that Matt put up there, fired up. Tombstone, appreciate you. It's fair to say the timing of Bo Davis' departure was brutal. Early enrollee released, behind in portal time, late start of 2025 class fair.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was, because it was a loss. It was like compounded because of the loss you had of Tavondre Sweat and Byron Murphy. And I think, you know, we had kind of gotten spoiled as a fan base. Yeah, Ojimo and Kendre Coburn before that. And remember, even Sark brought it up, and I didn't realize either, you know, Byron Murphy and Tavondre Sweat never started a game before this season. because they were just in the rotation of guys. And then it was Coburn and Ojimo before that. And then you expected, oh, now after they leave, and then Byron Murphy and Tavondre Sweat, and after they leave, it's going to be Broughton and it's going to be Collins that step in that role as the starters, the frontline starters. And maybe that is going to be the case, but it won't be under the tutelage of Bo Davis. And I think Longhorn fans had grown accustomed to the kind of the security and confidence of, oh, no, no, Bo figured out. Bo Davis will figure it out. Now, do they have that same confidence in Kenny Baker? Not Kenny Baker, but they have it in Sark. So the hope is that Sark made that choice and made the right choice. But there's no doubt about it. I mean, that hurt. Losing Bo Davis hurt. I mean, Sark called him the best D-line coach in the country. You can't walk that back after he leaves and go, nah, that's all right. It didn't hurt that much. Like, well, you called him the best D-line coach in the country and he left. So, and you lost the best two D-tackles in the country. So, yeah. It's just the inopportune time for it, no doubt.
Definitely. Well, and I would tell the Longhorn fans, you can't win them all. This last week's been kind of deflating for Longhorn fans, but I would say as an observer, hey, y'all, it's been pretty good summers, you know, Arch and Colin Simmons and all the coaches. This is big time recruiting. Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose, and sometimes it rains. That's what happens in recruiting. And Longhorn fans are a little bit spoiled, I think, here of late. But, yeah, I mean, you keep fighting all the way to the tape, and the Longhorns will do that. Matthew, any other chats we need to get to?
We're all set.
All right, cool. Well, let me tell you one more time about Texas Electricity Ratings. They are our chief sponsor here on a Tuesday night, along with Matt Saunders there on Allstate Insurance. But, you know, if you live in a deregulated area – the great state, Dallas and Houston specifically, you know very well and understand deregulated electricity and the market can be confusing. You just want the best electricity that fits your needs for your family and your business. Our friends and partners at TexasElectricityRatings.com, our shopping website, lets you compare the prices, read actual customer reviews, which is huge, and then find a good electricity plan that fits your needs. Also filters out the gimmicky plans like a power to choose. That's going to trick you and does all customers into expensive bills. Don't go there. Make sure if you're in the market for a new plan, go to TexasElectricityRatings.com/OTF on Texas football, OTF for all of your electricity needs. And we can't thank them enough for their continued partnership with us on a Tuesday night. And guys, it's been fun. We're into the Independence Day holiday. You guys got any plans for the next several days after tomorrow?
Not much. Gonna do some grilling. Go do some grilling. That's for damn sure. I don't even know what I'm grilling yet, but I know I'm gonna be on the grill. That's for sure.
On the grill. Well, CJ, you've been going. CJ, you've been going everywhere. New Orleans and back, and the big deal on Sunday night. You gonna get some rest, or you going somewhere?
No, we'll see. Try to find a body of water, dip my toes in a little bit, and enjoy some fireworks somewhere. That's what the 4th is all about for me.
Yes, sir.
And you never know. Knowing CJ, you could do like one of those 12-hour trips to Vegas and back. You just never know with CJ.
I don't have that in me now. Not today. Not this week.
All right, guys. Great stuff. Enjoy the holiday. We'll be back next Tuesday. Of course, coffee and football tomorrow morning. We'll keep the conversation going. CJ will be a part of that and looking forward to it. And it's been fun again tonight. Thanks to all the super chats. Great questions. Great conversation. As we said, to start 13 days till SEC Media Days up in Dallas. We'll be there for 4 days and covering it and all the sights and sounds, the Omni Hotel, the location. Big 12 actually has their meetings next week in Las Vegas. So CJ won't have to do that. I did see that the Big 12 predictions came out with Utah winning the Big 12, the first Big 12 without the Longhorns or Oklahoma in it. You guys good with that? Utah is the winner with Kyle Whittingham, probably the most consistent program in that conversation. Guys, have a good Tuesday night and we'll do this again next week. And I know you guys will be back on tomorrow. With all the live shows here on the On Texas Football channel. Thanks you to TexasElectricityRatings.com. Matt Saunders at Allstate. We appreciate him. You're in good hands with him. Guys, awesome stuff tonight.
You too, brother.
Thanks, E. Thanks, Matthew. Guys.
See y'all.
Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
just like backyard barbecues or a day at the pool. The Three Rivers Festival has always been a part of our summer fun. And the festival returns July 12th to the 20th. It kicks off with the annual Three Rivers Festival Parade. Browse art in the park with local artisans. Bring the family to Children's Fest. Stroll through Junk Food Alley. And don't forget about the festival concerts at the Hoosier Lottery stage with live music from nationally renowned acts. You can buy your concert tickets or check out a schedule of events at threeriversfestival.org. Don't miss the best summer experience in Fort Wayne, the Three Rivers Festival.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.